Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning into Urban Conversation. This is our Wednesday night heat, and I'm your host, Liguel Marie. I think my co-host might be joining me. I'm going to try to see. You guys are actually blocking our line, so a lot of you guys must be calling in, which is always a good thing. Let me see. Is Manuel Hill on the line? I think I know your number by heart by now.
Yes,
are you
okay?
Good, good. I didn't want to accidentally patch in somebody else, but I have your number by heart right now. So anyway, this is our midweek conversation. This is the first Wednesday night heat that we're bringing you guys. I'm excited. Hopefully, Manuel is excited, and hopefully, you guys are excited as well. I actually got some really, really, really good inbox questions from you guys for this topic. So I'm excited to get Manuel's feedback and kind of discuss something that I'm pretty sure the majority, if not all of us, can definitely relate to. Is settling, whether it's in business or relationships. We're talking about relationships, but I think everybody kind of should have, you know, a good idea what it feels like to settle at one point or so, you know, at one point in time in their life. I don't know, I do. So, and by the looks of the questions that you guys inboxed me earlier today, and I'll check in a few minutes to see if you guys are sending any more. It seems like most of you have had experiences where you feel like you've settled. So tonight, on our Wednesday night heat, we're going to give you the same raw conversation that we give you on Sunday nights, but we're kind of transitioning and playing around with some new days and times to hopefully accommodate more of our listeners. A lot of you guys say that you're not able to catch us live and you want to hear it live. Some of you say that you do catch us live, but you wish that it was during the week versus the weekend. So we're going to see, and of course we can't accommodate everybody, but hopefully adding this Wednesday night heat will get us some more of our live listeners. So Manuel, sir, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing well. How about yourself? I'm sorry.
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a busy day, so, and I know that you always have busy days and you're doing a lot of stuff. So, but we're talking about knowing your worth, the battle against settling, and I personally think that the battle is ongoing in certain aspects of life. I think that we all kind of go through these phases and seasons where we're either not giving ourselves enough credit or we're allowing other people to cause us to believe, that we don't deserve what we deserve. So I think, you know, like I said earlier, I think everybody can relate to this. But what I want to do is I want to jump right into the questions because I got quite a few of them and I want to get as many of these comments and questions read online that I can. So this is a listener who said, she said, with all the broken homes, do you really think it's wrong to stay in a marriage for the sake of the kids? Hmm. What are your thoughts? I know my thoughts.
I don't think it's wrong.
Do you need me to read? You said what?
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. I mean it's kind of a noble cause because it's selfless, but to me that's very, very, very scary because it depends on when, I guess timing is everything. Because how much can you put up with when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in before it becomes toxic? So, you know, let's just say these children are, you know, I don't know, let's just say they're very, very young, you know, they're babies basically. Mm-hmm. And or one child even, you know, it's very, very young, it's a baby. You're talking about an infant or a toddler. And, you know, when you think about the long term, you know, at minimum, you know, a child is going to be home till they're about 17. So how many years are you going to put up with being somewhere that you don't want to be? Is anybody going to put up with 15 years, 10 years of that? It's very difficult. And I think at some point we all have a breaking point, and at that breaking point is when things become toxic. So you might think that you could stick around for the sake of the children, but in actuality it might be more healthy to leave for the sake of the children later or at some point before they start to witness, you know, such toxic behavior that's going to have an adverse effect on them. So I don't think that it works out the way that people think it's going to work out when you're staying for the kids.
Right.
You know, unless they have some special bond in that marriage or relationship to where they can avoid toxicity and co-parent and be in this, you know, mid-tier relationship, you know, and just stick it out, you know, but I don't think that's really ideal.
Right. Yeah. And I agree. I know people who have, and, you know, who have sacrificed their happiness or, you know, pursuit of happiness in a lot of ways to stay in a marriage because of the kids. But I've also seen the effects of that, and you know, and it's not always, you know, and basically what you were pointing out, Manuel, when children, and children are very, very, very wise. We don't give them enough credit. We don't. They're very observant and they're open souls, and so they really do pick up on a lot that we may not realize. And you know, if you have a dysfunctional relationship, you're giving, you know, we are the ones that are giving our kids the example of what relationships are. And so if you're not giving them a positive example and it's not healthy, then you're really not benefiting them. And, you know, I'm the youngest of five. I have four siblings. So it's five of us. And we're, you know, our parents divorced. And, you know, so I know how devastating and how difficult that can be on a kid and on a child and even into your adulthood. It definitely affects you. But I appreciate them, you know, separating and not continuing, you know, to give an example of what, you know, marriage is not. But, you know, that's an individual thing. And, you know, I know it's hard because you want to do what's right for your babies. And, yeah, you know, but if you guys are fighting and it's not a good situation, you know, what are you really showing them? So anyway, we're going to move on. Another one, she said, how do you balance not having too high of standards with not settling for what's beneath you? I think I get what she's asking. I'll let you go ahead and get into that. Do you need me to read that again, or did you get it?
No. You know, I definitely got it. For what's beneath you? Well, excuse me.
I know,
Elizabeth.
Like,
shit, beneath? The hell you think you are? No, I know.
Maybe that's why she didn't want her name read.
What's beneath? Girl, the woman should always be beneath, depending on what we're talking. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I understand what she really means, because there are certain things that people do find just beneath them, even if they find quality characteristics in certain people. You know, when you make your list of pros and cons, when that list has way too many cons on the other side, that might be a situation or that might be a person that you find just beneath you. And I personally don't believe anybody in any case should ever, like, totally sacrifice what they deem they're worthy of, you know, for the sake of just having someone next to them. Like, that is not a good idea. But you got to... You got to kind of wonder that, you know, law of averages, time, age, everything starts to have a factor in at some point. Your dating pool doesn't get larger as you get older. It kind of gets smaller, so, and especially depending on what your expectations are. So I think there are certain things in which we have to be willing to say, okay, I'm willing to sacrifice this here or there, but you gotta draw a fine line between the things that you think you're sacrificing for and willing to, you know, make adjustments for, and the things that you're just absolutely not willing to tolerate. And the things that you know you're absolutely not willing to tolerate, you can't move on that stuff. You just can't. I don't care how good looking the guy is or how old you are, how late in the game you think it is, or you know, whatever it is. If you absolutely know that it is something you cannot tolerate, don't waste your time. And I don't care what anybody says.
Right.
You know, that's just, yeah, I don't care what anybody tells you. Like, you just don't do it. Because even if you do and you think you're going to change, you know, something, some of these dynamics, or you think that these dynamics are going to just go away, or this person is just going to magically morph into some person that you want them to be, more than likely it's not going to happen. I mean, you know, we grow, we evolve, and we change, but we grow and we evolve and we change on our own time, not just because some person just magically enters your life and then you get a wake-up call and say, oops, okay, I'm going to start doing it. I just don't think it works like that.
Yeah, and I would say, because, you know, I how analytical I am, so I'm reread the question, and you're asking, or they're asking, how do you balance not having too high a standard, you know, with not settling for what's beneath you. For one, you know, I think having some good reality checks is in order.
people who
tend to put their standards way, way, way too high, just being unrealistic and forgetting the human part of themselves as well as everyone else on the planet. I think you just need some deep, deep introspective time and some good reality checks and, to keep yourself humble. I guess for me, when I think of someone who has too high of standards, I always equate that to pride. And, so for me, I would say, you know, just some self-humility first, because without that, you can't really see yourself or other people the way that they really are. Figure out why your standards are so high and kind of, you know.
Remember this. We spoke on this topic before. Well, we touched on one aspect of this. You remember when when Taraji came out and said that she's not claiming a man who hadn't put a ring on, she will not claim that man as well.
Right. Thing. I'm single. Even if she's in a relationship,
even if
she's,
we're together.
Okay.
Until they're actually. And then you had some people took the literal stance, well, you technically are single, so you can claim to be single because you're not married, because until you're married, you're actually single. Fine. I'm like, okay. And I was not calm about it, and I was absolutely blatant about it, and I might have even came across as rude, and I meant to. I don't care who you are as a woman or whatever. I don't care who you think you are. Taraji can say that. Because she just happens to appear, and she can just so happens to be in the top 1% of just about everything, financially, looks, you know, her career, how it's turned out for her, and where it's placed her in life. She has privileges that the average person doesn't have, and that's what you allow when you're a celebrity. She has a celebrity status, and that's not telling women that they should settle for men who don't want to marry them. It's flat out saying that if you and this man are together, you're dating, you're being, you know, you're faithful to one another, you're investing time, energy, money, you know, your intimacy and all this other stuff. And then when it's time to introduce this man to somebody, oh, he's my friend. Bitch, please. Like, get out of here. Are you crazy? How's that going to work out? I'd welcome the opportunity for a woman to put me in that position, because it would be the last time she put me in that position. You know, there's no way in hell. And I remember even commenting on blogs and on threads in regards to this, and women were talking about that's how they do, that's what they do. And I hate to sound, you know, so vapid about this, but I'm like, first of all, look at you. How dare you? And two, I'm like, no, you're not. I'm like, no, you are not. I'm like,
wait, I was late on the... on the button. Wait.
But for real, I'm like, first of all, how are you going to say such a thing? That was one thing. But I'm like, no, you don't. I'm like, I don't believe it. I'm like, you do not have a man that you are with, you have been with for a significant amount of time. This is somebody you share, you bond with, and you have a connection with. And you don't claim them because y'all are not yet engaged, or y'all are not, you know, y'all
don't
have a date.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
So that's crazy. Happening. I'm like, y'all are not that bold. And I'm like, I want to see y'all in front of me. That's how far I want the proof to be, because it's just unbelievable. I just don't believe such a thing. And I was even saying, I'm like, I don't believe y'all. And if y'all getting away with that, y'all dealing with the right kind of brother, because I'm sorry, there's no way in hell that I'm going to be, you know, claiming a woman and she's not claiming me. I don't care what status we are as far as a ring being on it or not.
Well, all right. So, okay.
Taraji P got the women, had these women hyped up for a minute.
She,
Miguel, I'm just saying.
Yeah,
she up.
No, she did. We totally agree. I agree with all of that. I thought it was nonsense and madness as well. It's just, but you know, it just kind of shows how far gone some people are mentally and why. Relationships crumble the way that they do. Like, people are, like, you know, really out there when it comes to, you know, relationships and the foundation and commitments and, you know, basically just rewriting the definitions of everything. And you know, there's a lot of women that are just delusional too, that are just out there confused. So, and men as well. Anyway, here's another one. Okay, she said, hopefully I read this right. She said, if you have a good man who treats you right, loves you, but sexually turns you off, should you stay or go? I mean, but that's kind of turns you off. Now, I could kind of get, you know, maybe doesn't like, I don't know, get you all the way, but like saying turns you off, that's like you repulsed, or you, I don't, that's like a, like turns you off, that's like, that's
yeah,
really
that's,
bad,
that's different,
right?
From not,
that's a,
yeah, that's different
that's
from
bad.
Not having, yeah, that's just different from not having, you know,
you know what I'm saying, like having
or,
kind of
or,
boring
yeah,
sex
yeah.
that you
right,
may be
right,
able to help
right.
him
to
and teach him some stuff, but turning you off.
Turn off? Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it's only two things. Either it's going to end with you leaving, or you're going to get a side guy. I mean, I don't know how that's supposed to work out. Yeah, there's no way. A person being
turned
off?
Yeah, I don't know how that would... Yeah, because when I read that, I'm thinking literally what she wrote. She said, if you have a good man who treats you right, loves you, but sexually turns you off, should you stay or go?
Gotta go.
That's
gotta go, because it's not gonna. I mean, you whatever. Listen, I think society has changed. I think what we used to think about women, you know, in regards to sex, is that a woman can deal with the bad sex or something that's just not, you know, to her liking. And I think maybe at one point women did. You know, you just kind of sucked it up and took one for the team, for the greater good of women, family, and everything else. In this day and age, I don't think that's going down. I don't think women are just settling for bad sexual experiences. So,
yeah, this is
you know, no, that's not going to work.
Yeah, and this is, I think you're, it's Minx D. I hope I'm saying it right. But if you're listening right now, inbox me and give me a little bit more information on.
Yeah, break that down. Break down the turn off. Like, is it something that he does, or is he a turn off? Like, whoa.
Well, she said, the way it's written, she said, you know, he's doing everything right, but sexually turns you off. So he's turning her. So Minx D, hopefully I'm saying your name right. If you're listening right now, inbox me and tell me, because we want to know, like, why, first of all, why is he turning you off? Like, what is he doing? Is it him aesthetically that you don't find? Is he not attractive to you aesthetically, or is he doing things to you physically that you find repulsive,
right?
Or are you just not? Because if you're, you know, if he's attractive and he's got what's the best way to say it? If he's attractive and he has workable stuff. If everything is working right, and
if you're saying if his plumbing is in order,
yes,
you know,
if everything right. So I mean, if everything is all good and he's good, then you know maybe you can work with him. But if he's just like aesthetically not pleasing to you, and you know like he gets naked and you're just like a desert.
Right, a desert. They get
you
turned to the Sahara down there. Have you ever experienced such a thing? Like he got his clothes off and you were like, oh no. You're like, oh no.
No.
Oh, okay.
I have never, and I will never.
That's beneath you. That's beneath you.
I'm not saying it's beneath me. I'm just saying
The way you said that never. Oh no, you like that is beneath me. Oh, how dare I submit? How dare I even put myself in a situation like?
No, you know what I'm saying is that no, it's never happened.
And you're saying that it would. Your tone is like that has never happened, and it would not ever happen.
But
you
know what?
I think sometimes
the audience knows me by now, knows me well enough, and they, you know, it's like, you know, we're growing a little family here. So I've said it before, you know, I've had my mistakes, but for the most part, for the majority of my life, I have to be in love. And I'm not saying I'm perfect or anything, but that's what has always made me feel comfortable. And so if I get to that point where I love you,
clearly.
I'm attracted to you. So I'm
everything's all together, right?
Yes.
I mean, this thing about somebody turning somebody off, it could be a thing. It could be something that the person does because everybody has their buttons. Yeah, everybody has their buttons that are pushed one way or another where you're just turned off instantly. Oh my God,
if he's just fumbling around down there and just slobbering in a sweat box or whatever, you know, there's a lot of things that women are just like repulsed by. Like those over sweaters, like just sweating like you are just running a marathon. Yeah, just over sweating. Like.
She called them over sweaters. She did those over sweaters. Listen, I promise you, it did sound like you were saying something that was like for fashion. It sounded like you were talking about some sort of fashion thing.
I know.
An over sweater. Over sweaters are trending. We're going to have that one.
Right.
Or if he's a mouth breather. Right. Oh, he's a mouth breather. He just sits there on the couch, and everything about him is right. And his mouth, is just dropped open, and he's breathing heavy. And when you look over there, you're like, ugh. And he looks back, and he just smiles like, hey, babe, hey, girl.
Oh my God, Minx, we need you. I need you, please. I love you. I hope you're listening. I need you to please give us more clarity on that. Because now, because of my imagination, now I'm just like really like
right,
trying to figure out
like,
what
place.
He, Yeah, and I'm like, on your page, you don't have pictures of you with a guy. that's an issue right there, because if you're with, like, where is he? Where is the picture of him? Because I want to see what he looks like. You know, maybe he's, you know, maybe she was just trying to, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think from a turnoff, I think from a turnoff, there is something he's doing.
It has to be something, maybe.
I think it has to be, because, I mean, if they're a couple or if somebody's been spending time with somebody, they passed the initial test. They passed the initial eye test and everything else. It's just that next level where you're supposed to be turned on, something is turning you off. So
let me believe that there's something the person might be doing.
A mannerism or something.
Yeah, but let me play the advocate on the other side of that. She's saying that he's a good man,
right?
Who treats her right, and he loves
right.
her. So, is she settling? I mean, what if all the other men that she's dealt with, maybe the sex was mind blowing,
right.
but they treated her like garbage.
Crap, right.
You know, like how much weight should you put on the sex? Like, is that really settling if he's doing if he is, you know, praying for her, uplifting her, you know, supporting her emotionally, mentally, you know, he's there for her, he's being, like what she said, a good man, whatever her definition of a good man is. My definition of a good man is that he's doing all those things that I just stated. So if he's doing all of that and he loves her, is it really settling? I mean, is the consensus that if it's awful, repulsive sex, then just trash the relationship? Or is awful sex not a big enough issue to end the relationship? That's what I'm wondering. Like, that's my question. Is it that big of a deal? Hello? Okay. I don't know what happened to Manuel. He just went blank. But anyway.
No, I'm here. I'm sorry. No, I accidentally hit my mute. I'm sorry. What I was going to say is that I think, you know, there's a balance, right? Is because when do you throw in the towel too soon on something that can actually get better? And I actually had this experience with a friend of mine. She had already came out of a marriage, and you know, her husband was kind of on the, you know, not physically abusive, but very emotionally abusive, very condescending. You know, he just was really kind of just a mean person. He was mean. And, you know, so she basically came to her and she said, you know, when I'm out of this, you know, I'm not scarred, I'm not damaged, I just want to do it the right way the next time. You know, so the next person I meet, I'm going to take my time, this, that, and the third. And so she finally meets a guy, and he's a good guy, you know, goes to church, family-oriented, everything is clicking, and then it gets to the intimacy, and her experience outweighed his experience. So she was frustrated in the beginning, and so she mentioned it to me, and I was like, well, is everything else lining up? And she's like, absolutely. Everything else lines up with this guy. There's not anything else I can complain about. It's just the sex just isn't there. And so
right.
I explained to her that in some situations with men, if we lack experience, then the woman having more experience and seeming to be on point, that can kind of tease the male ego a little bit, and he doesn't have the confidence. I said, so he may not be moving with confidence, so give it time. Well, she gave it time. They communicated, and they've been together for, like, you know, the last 4 years. They got engaged maybe a year and a half after getting together, and I think they had their first child not too long ago. So it's like there is a balance between, you know, being turned off totally, because she never said that. He just was a little,
yeah.
you know, timid with her. And so she's like, what am I doing? I really, you know, I like this guy, but, you know, how long should I wait for it to click? So being a good person,
I think
that only buys you time.
Okay, hold on. Minx has, she said, when I say sexually turns me off, that's exactly what I mean. I don't enjoy it.
Oh, wow. Oh, damn. That flat out. That's straight up flat out. Don't laugh.
Wow. She says, right, when I said sexually no turns pun. Me off, that's were you getting smart, Meeks? Like, I'm just kidding. She's like, that's no. exactly what I why did I see your neck like moving when I read that? Like,
she did.
That's
she,
exactly what
real.
I meant
she
when
like,
I said it. Say you turn me off.
Right, that's good. Hey, but you know what? Okay, well, I'm going to go to my first response. She got to get
okay,
up out
yeah,
of that she, thing.
Okay, well, Manuel
she
said you need
get
to get
up
out of that thing.
Right. Because think about it. If a person, if you don't enjoy it, like, that means it can't be one thing. It's a lot of things going wrong. You know, he might be a mouth breathing, heavy sweating, fondling, non-nail clipping, like, just everything just going wrong. The hygiene, the look.
Hold on. She said that she has attempted to communicate her needs and has even gone so far as suggesting things that we do. Even still, it seems he is disconnected from fulfilling me sexually, and I'm frustrated, but he is a good man.
Gotta walk. I'm sorry. Because you know what, though? Because if he's not on point.
Is he slow? If she's communicating and, like, suggesting stuff, what is he not getting?
Because he's a man. Think about it.
Meeks,
is
he attractive, though? Meeks, is he attractive? Is he an attractive man? Like, I don't know. We have to move on.
I think you're being nice. He's a man. You know we're slow sometimes, right? You know sometimes.
Well, that's what I'm saying. She says she's showed him. She's even shown him. You know, given. I guess
we're
I don't know either.
So
you're telling her.
You know we are.
You guys are. Yeah, you are.
Because she's gonna hurt. She can hurt a good man if she sticks to it because she's unsatisfied. And when you're not satisfied, what are you gonna do? After a while, it's gonna come out one way or another. So as opposed to hurt this man, just go ahead and say, hey, this is lining up the way it's supposed to be, and this is something I can't deal with in a relationship. So, you know, we got to roll out. We got to move on, you know.
Oh, that's so sad.
It's sad, but, yeah, you'd rather
I
do that
than
hurt your
guy. Oh, Meeks. Well, you hear Manuel's advice. I'm still on the fence with it.
You're so sweet. Aw.
the thing is like, do you love him? Because you said he loves you, but I haven't seen where you said you love him, and that's a big thing. So, but I'll come back to you. Ghost Town gave us a really good question. I'm going to skip over some of these just to get to his. He said, a lot of people are out here idolizing other couples and their outward appearance and interactions. Uh-huh. Do you think this plays a large role on some of the standards that are being set? Abso-freaking-lutely.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. People are setting their standards off of not only couples that they actually see in real time, but couples they see on Facebook that they don't know and, you know, couples on, you know, TV shows and all this crazy. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. People are.
I use one valid point, and I said this, ooh, and people got all over me about it. They really did.
They got all over you? What did you say?
Yeah, but women took me to task on this. And I said, it was a while ago, and, you know, with our president, commander-in-chief, you know, him and the first lady looked to just be a match made in heaven. And I quickly, I had to bring some people down. I said, listen, we don't know what they got in their closet. So he's a politician first, and we know they have a lot of stuff. I'm like, but he's a man of power, a politician, you know, a man with wealth. And I'm sorry, but I don't know too many of those that have been just had squeaky clean paths. Now, you know, now that's not to denigrate him or the office in any way, shape, or form, but it's just to say, don't look at the surface. Don't look at the smiles and the pictures and the memes we make and all this other stuff and say, oh, man, they're the perfect couple. They're a great couple because there's no such thing as a perfect couple. They're a great couple because they made it through those struggles and everything else together. But like Ghost Town is saying, when we try to, you know, make our relationships reach this plateau based on what we think we see with these other people and what these people allow us to see, We can be fooled so quickly. Like, do your thing. Do what works for you and leave it at that. Don't go out here trying to be
absolutely
Mr. and Mrs. whatever. Like, that's no.
I completely agree. And what people have to remember is that a picture is just a moment in time.
One moment.
Right. Yes, it's one quick moment. And, you know, like you said, you never know what's going on behind closed doors with anyone and everybody. And I think the biggest thing, you know, when we're talking about knowing your worth and not settling, is that we have to remind ourselves that we're all human, and human nature dictates that we are all susceptible to fall and fail and fumble through this thing called life. No one is exempt from that. There's no one
right.
That is breathing, that has ever walked this earth, that is exempt from that. So when you kind of get yourself grounded and you realize that no matter how together someone may seem, they've struggled at some point in their life, they've had to deal with something, they may be currently dealing with something. You can't go by the smile and the, oh, I'm fine, I'm great, I'm perfect. That's not the case. So it's more conducive for your happiness, for you to focus on building and structuring your life the way that it works for you. So,
right.
Okay, here we have one. He said, this is Daniel, he said, how soon can you know if you're settling?
When you're tolerating things, I think sometimes when you're tolerating things that you know you wouldn't tolerate, but you don't want to be alone, so you're deciding to go ahead and tolerate them. I mean,
well,
he's
saying, how soon can you know? Wouldn't you know right away? I mean,
instantly. But
right,
I think very soon. It's not going to take you 10 years into it, because I mean, and you can test to this. I know you've been in long-term relationships only, and I've had my long-term relationships. And the one thing is that when you do have that long-term relationship, that marriage, that long-term commitment, you kind of prefer that long-term commitment and that bond. So
sometimes it's
more difficult for those people to get to this place where we're just absolutely single and by, even though we will. We want that companionship because we know what it's like to be in love and be in long lasting relationships. And I think what can happen sometimes is that, you know, you want this thing so bad to where you kinda end up settling for the wrong thing if you're not really on your toes. So that's why he's asking what takes so long. I mean, how do you know when? I'm sorry, I think during the courtship you'll know. You know, during
absolutely.
The courtship you'll know if you're settling, because you'll know if you're putting
yeah.
up with some stuff or you see some things, some major things that just can't change whatsoever. And you're sitting there like, wait, hold on, why am I dealing with this? Like,
yeah,
so, don't do that.
Yeah, hopefully you heard that, Daniel. And I'm not sure how you pronounce your name. She said, when you love somebody and are willing to stick by their side when they're down, but have family saying you can do better, should you follow your heart or leave the person? Can I just
say,
I was going to say, first of all, Nakia, hopefully I'm not, whatever, Nakia, first of all, stop putting your family in your relationship. If it's not an abusive situation, if he's not hitting on you and things like that, you know, stop running to your mom and everybody as soon as you guys have an argument. Family is wonderful, but they can be detrimental to a potentially good relationship, because what tends to happen is that they love you and they probably have this idea that you're just so awesome and great, and they don't see you going upside his head when you get pissed off. And so they're going to be biased when you're telling them, you know, about the fights and the disagreements. They're going to automatically side with you and kind of look at him like the bad guy. And if he's really not a bad guy, you don't want to defame your dude to your family and friends. Be really careful about what information that you give. It's okay to share and, you know, have the people that you confide in, but be real careful about the picture that you paint of the person that you're with. And that's for a man and, you know, or a woman. But what do you mean when you say he's down? Like, is he down? Is he always down?
Well,
or is his track record that he's always down? Or is he up most of the time?
Right.
Like, what do you mean? If you're listening right now, I really, you know, give us more information, because I'm, you know, I need to know, like, what do you mean? You know, you're saying he's down, like, is he incarcerated? And I'm not saying automatically leave him if he is, you know, situations happen, whatever.
Like you're asking, like you're saying, is the person always down? Do they always?
Is he always? Is he just?
Always...
Is he just down, Nakia? Like, is it?
Right.
Like, is your family like? It, you know, is he always borrowing your car? Does he not have a job? Is he just down and out all the time? And you're making excuses for him, and your family sees this, and so they're like, leave him alone. Or is he just having a rough patch? And
right.
Maybe your family is a little uppity and they don't want you to stick by him because they're under the delusion that you deserve better. But, yeah.
Right.
Because those are two
go.
Different
and
types
you,
of down, right?
And you just broke it down exactly the same way I would have. You know, like I said, we know the men who are always down. Jerry, I always got an excuse. I think of this guy named Jerry. That's just a name. Jerry sounds like a dude who just always got a problem. Something always
Jerry
wrong.
Always got some issue, and he always asking for $10.
Always.
Let me get that $10.
Yeah, Jerry always needs a ride somewhere. He always just got in the shop. You know what I'm saying? He just got arrested. Jerry always got an issue.
His house just burned down.
Right. Jerry, you got to stay away from me. You seem like you don't have no good luck, bro. Like,
I know, Jerry's always
Jerry,
coming from a funeral. Like, somebody always just
right,
died in his family.
Right.
Which means that
right.
He needs money.
Right. Now, if you got Gerard, on the other hand, and Gerard just got laid off from this job, and at the same time he got laid off is when, you know, he was trying to buy this house and da-da-da, and things just spun out of control. Because we know it rains at four sometimes. Right.
Yeah,
know
the difference between a man who's not about it versus a man who is about it. Life happens. Like, people have down time. Like, it doesn't matter how professional and intelligent, life happens to everybody. So
exactly.
You got to know the difference if he's a slacker versus a man who's about his, but is having, you know, some hard luck and he's going through, you know, that type of man, I would stick by, ride or die. But like you said, Jerry, who's always coming from his auntie's funeral,
damn,
you
Jerry.
Know, yeah, with that bucket of chicken.
Right. Jerry always got money for a beer. No matter what, Jerry got a beer in his hand. I tell you that much.
He got that 40.
Wait, what was that? Yeah. What did you just do? What was that?
I was getting too into the moment.
You were into the moment? You
I was totally into the scene. Like I was like
You said Jerry. I saw your hand going up and down. I saw you leaning a little bit.
Like, I was 40. Like feeling it. I was like, yo, he got that 40. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah. No. Get out of here.
You're always clowning me. I'm so tired of you clowning me. You totally don't respect my gangster.
I don't respect your gangster at all. Hell no.
You don't. You do not respect my gangster at all. I don't know.
All
right. Well, hopefully she got the answer. okay, here's one. I had a man tell me after – okay, she doesn't want her name read. I had a man tell me after 3 years he wouldn't settle, but I was doing everything a good woman's supposed to do, I feel. I'm sorry, supposed to do, I feel like he was a cheater and just use that as an excuse.
Whoa.
Wait,
hold on, what?
Wait, let me read that one more time.
Oh,
I had a man.
Okay.
She said, I had a man tell me after 3 years he wouldn't settle, but I was doing everything a good woman's supposed to do. I feel like he was a cheater and just used that as an excuse.
So, okay, so when she says settle, I'm assuming settle down, you know.
I'm thinking,
you know, so.
I'm assuming she means like he, it sounds like he cut it off. Like he told her he wouldn't settle, but I guess they were together 3 years. And so I guess his thing of breaking it off was that he was settling for her. You told me not to say your name, but if you're listening, you know that this is your question. You can give
yeah,
you can inbox me and make sure that.
And I'm perceiving it as, you know, he's a guy, and by saying I won't settle means, you know, hey, we're doing our thing or whatever, but I'm not gonna settle down. I'm not gonna settle. You know,
no, because
I would
see it like that if she didn't say, she said, but I was doing everything a good woman's supposed to do.
Right.
So that
right.
sounds
and she
didn't
stay for 3 years. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that sounds like he broke it off and he told her that he wouldn't settle. It's okay. Here's my
thing. Where does that come from? Like,
yeah, that's
where
what I'm saying. Why? Oh, I'm not gonna.
If he did, or if he was doing his thing, whenever he wanted to, and then obviously when she, you know, things kept blowing up, and he decided that, you know, hey, I'm just gonna walk instead of changing my ways, then I can see what she's saying. But go ahead with your.
I'm gonna just say this. Sometimes the ego is just like too inflated, because you're basically saying, and this is what I'm getting, you could correct me if I'm wrong, catch us before the show is over, but from what I'm getting from what you're saying is that there's no way in hell that he left you for the reasons that he gave you, which was that he wasn't going to settle because you were doing everything right, so you feel like he left you because he was cheating. But my thing is, that sounds like ego to me. That sounds like how do you determine what someone else is settling for? Because settling is not about what you're providing monetarily. It's not just about those things. You know, maybe spiritually he didn't feel inspired by you. Maybe intellectually he didn't feel stimulated by you. There's a lot of areas in a person's life that someone may not be providing for them for. So you're saying you were doing everything right, but who's to say? Like, I don't know. I mean, like, where does the cheating come in? Like, well,
right,
why do you
right.
feel like because you said you was doing everything you're supposed to do. I feel like he was a cheater and just use that as an excuse. I need to know why you felt like he was cheating. That's what I, like, you just threw that out there, like, why do you feel like he was cheating? Because he broke it off with you? Because don't cheaters just, like, kick it and stay in it?
Right. Well, I think what it is, see, if they were together and maybe she caught him doing some things, and then on the heels of catching him doing some things, you know, he decides to walk. You know, sometimes men are going to be with women they know they can get away with certain things with. So, you know, perhaps, you know, maybe she's saying, you know, he had these cheating, philanderous ways, and that's the reason in which he didn't want to settle down, because she wouldn't tolerate it. Well, if that's the case, again, there are men who roll like that, flat out roll like that. You know, if that's the case, you kind of had to know what you were dealing with before the end came, and maybe she was the one that was just putting up a fight when she thought it was worth it, but he couldn't stop doing what the hell he was doing. So that could be the case, but I the details are kind of just was throwing me off. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, the details are a little sketchy. So I don't know if, you know, like I said, definitely, you know, if you want to kind of give a little bit more information on that. But I don't know. Like I said, communication is a big part of that. You know, why did, you know, what were the reasons that he gave you that he felt like he was settling? You know, what did he say that you weren't providing for him? You know, did you have that conversation? You know, that's important. And then at the end of it all, he broke it off with you, and, you know, you just have to move on, you know? So I don't, you know, I'm not trying to sound mean, because I definitely don't know the whole situation, but It could be, you know, could be a variety of things. But anyway, I want to talk about really, really quickly before we run out of time, some of the reasons why people do settle, though. You know, we kind of, you know, we understand that, you know, everybody has a story and they've gone through different things, but why do you feel like some people are more susceptible to settle in relationships, you know, stay in relationships that are, you know, making them unhappy, or stay in abusive, you know, relationships, or stay with someone that they know is lying and cheating on them? What are some of the reasons that you feel certain people are more susceptible to it versus others?
I think some, like, well, one of the things is people who can't deal with being alone. People who really, really struggle with just being by themselves find themselves in situations that they're always that they are always settling for. And what those things could be, you know, it could be any and everything. It could be certain characteristics that you know you're not willing to tolerate, but you do because you don't want to be alone. I mean, that's just one side of it. The other side, I think, and we kind of covered this with the children. But just think about, when we become accustomed to certain things. If you're married and you're accustomed to this man taking care of you, and you're used to that, and there's a lifestyle that you become accustomed to, sometimes you settle for the bull crap because you want to maintain a lifestyle. I think that happens quite a bit. Like there are women out there who, you know, and you can imagine, especially, you know, you're doing the work that you've done and your experience in the music business, you know, there are a lot of women out there dealing with total douchebags only for the fact that they're well taken care of. So,
and that's injury, and I
was going to just close it off with that. I didn't want to, you know, take up all the time because I know you have your bit to say on that. But those are two situations, you know, the lonely hearts that just can't be by themselves, and then the ones that are just, you know, taken care of or in a situation that they say, you know what, you know, me being unhappy is worth it because I'm getting all this other stuff, you know.
And that is such, you know, that is such a big point to make, because I think a lot of times when people think about this particular topic, they're always thinking about someone settling for, you know, someone who's not, you know, providing, or, you know, we always seem to equate that settling with monetary, and it's really, really not the case in a lot of people's situations. And I've been around the very wealthy, rich people who are just, you know, inherently unhappy and who have accepted a life of, you know, they're sometimes more lonely than, you know, someone who's just, you know, making an average amount of money, which is so ironic to me, because did I say ironic? I think I made up a word. I was trying to say ironic, and I think I said ironic and erotic.
I think you were thinking of ironic and erotic. Now, how did that just happen? What's going on over there?
I don't know.
Uh-oh. Getting late.
No. I know.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So what I was saying is, which is ironic, because on the outside it looks like they have it all, but they don't. And their self-esteem is actually, you know, I saw a lot of people that, you know, that you would think their self-esteem would be intact, but it really wasn't, because they was accepting, you know, a man who was cheating on them, that was bringing other women into the home, you know, providing homes and cars for their mistresses right in there, you know, and it was not, you know, something that was a secret. So that's settling. When you settle for someone that's not going to protect your heart and not going to love you and cherish you, that's settling. When you choose someone who doesn't want to be a partner with you, doesn't want to grow with you, doesn't want to see you grow as a person, that's settling. When you choose someone who's abusive to you, verbally, physically, mentally, that's settling. And, you know, it all comes from really not truly, truly believing that you deserve better and that you deserve to have you know, someone who, well, and I'm still getting inbox messages, someone that will, you know, provide those things for you. Because I think for me personally, the bigger things that I look for to be provided are not the material things, but are the more spiritual things, the emotional things and those type of connections. Those are bigger to me than stuff. You know, I'd rather have that than, you know, jewels and so. And I've been on both sides of it, so I know, driving in a new car, you got your Benz and you got your BMW over here, and you doing the vacations, and you've got the jewels, but yet you're both, totally disconnected and not happy. And I my first marriage was like that towards the end. So, but everybody on the outside just saw like, oh, he just lavishes her.
Right.
So she's got it. You got another car this year.
Right.
And shut up. You don't know what's going on in that condo. Yeah. Like, you don't know what's going on. You don't know. He's a great, person. I'm not saying that, but we just, we weren't happy. We were disconnected.
Right.
So stuff does not equate happiness, does not denote happiness. And, so we have to, remind ourselves of that. Absolutely. I'm laughing because I was reading a message. Anyway, any final thoughts on knowing your worth, Manuel, and the battle
I do think there's a fine line, because I think sometimes people wonder if their expectations are too high. And time, if it's been a while, if you've been dealing with your expectations for a minute and you just don't seem to come across anybody who fits the mold or this, that, and the third, you're going to then question yourself, because there hasn't been any success. You haven't come in.
You should
right
be
person.
Questioning
you
yourself too.
Right. You're going to question yourself, but sometimes, whatever standards or whatever you have going on, perhaps your time is just not your time. That may just
right
be the case. It just may be that it's not your time. So exhibit some patience. Don't feel bad about exhibiting some patience, because again, there are people who jump in and out, or they just jump so quick to the next thing to where they're not happy, and you're by yourself waiting on the right thing, and maybe at the moment you're not happy. So one person is dealing with something they don't want to. They're not happy. You're waiting. You're not happy. But when the right person comes along, I think it's worth the wait. Wouldn't you say so? If it's worth the wait, and you maintained your standards and you found what you want finally, then good. But
what if you find what you want and he's just not acting right?
If he's not acting right, I don't know.
What if he's saying all the right stuff, but he just is not consistent?
He's just bad.
Should he just be punished?
Is he just a bad child? Let me tell
is
you.
Is he just
okay,
like?
So,
is he just playing a game? How do you?
Some
do you
people.
Know?
I will tell you this, and I got hit with this one time. I was dating, and I think me and this young lady, we were dating, and I was just hard-headed. Like, I was just very hard-headed, and she was as hard-headed. Like, neither one of us had any back down. We didn't want to give any way, So I look back on the situation. I'm like, wow, we were just two hard-headed people that were just – so hard at trying to get our way. And so I've been that guy before, me personally. So if you're dealing with that dude, he's just hard headed as hell.
So leave those hard headed dudes alone, basically.
Oh, you might have to shake that person. Like, because women and men, we can be like these hard headed people. And I'm not saying physically beat him or physically do anything to him, but you gotta shake a person. Like, what's wrong with you? you know, some people are just hard headed.
You know what? My shaking energy, me personally, I'm just saying for me personally, I'm not saying any other listeners, because y'all shake away. if y'all got the energy to be shaking somebody, isn't there a song like "Shake It Off"? Shake. Why do I hear music in my head? I think there's a song, something with "Shake It Off." I can't think of her name. Anyway, that was just a glimpse inside LaGayle's brain. My head goes everywhere all the time. But no, for me personally, my "Shake It Off" energy, like, don't have it, because I don't know, people, you know, I just don't have this. I don't even know what that means. Like, what do you do to shake a person?
No,
I don't even know what that means.
I hate to say this, but sometimes you gotta check. I don't want to say check a person, because then everybody like, who gonna check me? Sometimes you gotta
check me, boo.
Like,
who gonna check
right,
me, boo? See, how was my gangster with that? See, I did. Who gonna check me, boo?
No. Don't do that again.
I am so done with you. I cannot believe you don't give me any credit for any of my games.
No, hell no. Keep that stuff bottled up. Don't bring that stuff out on the air no more. Shoot.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Really quickly, we had just one moment, because I did want to address this person's question. It has nothing to do with the topic. Make sure you guys... anytime you have a question, whether it's on the topic that we are discussing on that particular show, or if it's just something in general that you want to know about myself or Manuel, that you inbox me. I know you guys don't inbox him, and someone said that you just I don't know, Manuel. They don't.
Okay,
sorry. Nobody. I don't know. They don't. I don't know why they don't inbox you.
Are they scared of me?
I don't know. Please inbox him
dudes don't want to. Dudes don't want to inbox dudes. That's just like we're just not trying to roll up in a dude's inbox like that. Right?
I think that's it. There was all of these except for one question from tonight were from women. So I don't know. I'm sure that the guys don't want to inbox. But he's nice. You can inbox him.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. Let me say this before we go. I got the dumbest, I'm so tempted to say the name, but I kind of think it was a fake profile. And I just want to say, like, don't send me ridiculous inbox messages that are sexually explicit and just stupid. Don't do it. The next person who does it, I won't be so nice. And hopefully... If you did it, it's not your real profile, because I'm going to put you on blast. That's not what the show is about. I appreciate any compliment or so forth, but don't come at me sideways with anything sexually explicit about what you want to do to me. And
so let's just hypothetically say, what if it was your hard-headed, knee-shaking co-host posing as somebody else in another inbox, and he was just trying to just see it. He was just trying to. What if it was a little late? I made me a little Facebook profile, and I just decided to go inbox. You know,
I would have to ask, what in the world would be your purpose? Like, you already know. You should know me well enough to know that I didn't even respond. So what would your purpose be? To
maybe I thought I was going to get somewhere, man. Maybe, you know what I'm saying?
You don't know who
this person was. This person could have been anybody.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but I know it wasn't you, and I know it wasn't anybody that I know. So... really, was it you?
I don't know, girl. You already put me on. You might have put me on blast already. I don't want to answer. You know, I thought you was gonna be like, hey, you know, whoever you are, mystery
man. I was basically giving a urban conversation PSA. Don't and not just me, but since since I'm the one that gets the inbox messages, I'm pretty sure that Manuel probably wouldn't complain if one of you women inboxed him some sexual stuff. But for me,
inbox me all.
You know, for me, I mean, even though, you know, it just, and it wasn't even like, I don't know, like, get your writing game up.
It didn't work? It didn't do nothing for you?
It didn't do anything for me, no. And, you know, I have a really good imagination, and it was just kind of like, really? So, yeah, maybe try a little bit harder on that sentence structure and get your eroticism on a higher level.
Damn. I gotta step my game up. All right, my bad.
Well, we know it wasn't you, but yes, it's definitely. But for the rest of you, I do appreciate your feedback and all of your questions, and hopefully, you enjoyed our Wednesday night heat. Make sure that you continue to tune in. We'll be back with you on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern, and until then, say goodnight, Manuel.
All right, y'all. Have a good night.
And we look forward to having a conversation with you again really soon. Have a good evening.